This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to when you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
The story that you're going to hear on this particular episode of Cradle My Heart Radio, I think, models this from so many different directions that I'm really very encouraged and inspired to be able to bring to you Melody Olson, who's going to share her story with us for Cradle My Heart. Hi, Melody. Welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm just really honored to be here with you, Kim. Thank you for asking.
Melody, by way of introduction, is the founder of Speak Life and Live, and she also introduces herself as an intercessor. And Melody, one of the things that really blessed me is that you carry with you cards that describe various ministries that have Bible verses to go with them, and you gave me one of these cards after a bit of prayer, and it really blessed me. And I think that, you know, being an intercessor is absolutely a calling that some of us have. And you're also a writer and a storyteller. And I don't know what else you would say by way of introduction, but I know that you speak for a lot of groups, and it's really a joy to get to know the shape of your ministry.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I like to consider myself a voice. You know, I feel, I think the Lord has given us roles to play, and I feel like I'm a voice, and I'm a voice for Him. And as an intercessor, I like to really be in tune to His heart and to be able to speak life into others. That's why I carry around different ministries cards to hand out. And I'm glad you were blessed.
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful for that, yeah.
And what's so interesting is that, you know, as we speak with people who have an abortion story, and I know that you have been kind to agree to share yours with us, so often there's a long period of silence. And, you know, I think that, you know, people have told me that, you know, it just seems as though the enemy of our souls targets our spiritual gifting through this, you know, awful experience of abortion, that the very thing that God designed you for and made you perfectly to be able to do is something that is impacted beyond even the tragedy of the loss of the life of the child involved in the abortion. So let's go to set the stage for us about, you know, who you were and what was going on in your life when you had that experience.
Well, I was in my, just out of school, you know, in my early 20s, and I was a mess. I had come out of abuse as a child, which I think is very common for a lot of girls that make that choice. And I go into much more detail when I speak on stage, and I know we have a limited time today. But I just had no self-confidence. And as I teach, I wore a lot of masks to hide who I was underneath. And for me, the decisions came in 1979, 1980, and 1981. I had three abortions, and I say that so clearly and easily today because the word abortion I wasn't even able to speak that out of my mouth for over 30 years. But I made those choices based on different reasons. You know, the first one was shame, and to protect the young man because he had a college career ahead of him. And the second was because I was heavily using drugs, and the person, the adult in my life in that situation, you know, talked about birth defects, so I was afraid. And the third time, I had been date raped, and it was what I knew to do at that point. By number three, it was like, here's what we do when you get pregnant, because the world has made it easy. It's okay as a woman power, I'm holding my fist up, roar. You know, we were being raised as that. And in the 70s and the 80s, we were told this is what you do we were told, I didn't have Christ in my life. So I will tell you, I didn't have a moral compass to tell me the other options. And so I only knew what I knew by the adults and the authorities in my life coaching me. And even though I had all that, I will tell you, that moment, walking down that hallway, which I now call the Trail of Tears, being on that table, I knew it was wrong. Morally, deep down inside, I knew what I was doing wrong. But I didn't have what you have spoken so clearly. I didn't have a voice back then. The enemy shut my voice off. And so, yeah, That's where that part, and I speak, like I said, I speak so clearly about it today, but you have to understand the road to get to this place where I can speak to this without struggling. It was a hard journey to get here.
Melody Olson is our guest, and you're right. And I always am careful to say the same thing, that, you know, this is what a shame-free life looks like.
Yeah.
And it's very different from a shameless life. We hear many people who are advocating for abortion rights shamelessly shouting their abortion. Most recently, Martha Plimpton was in the news saying, my first abortion was my best at 19, and raising her fist. You know, I think she actually did, as you kind of, you know, where that shamelessness about it puts forward the idea that there's nothing wrong with it. And I mean, I think that the people who advocated abortion to me when I was also in my early 20s, they weren't necessarily shameless about it. They were a little reticent. You know, they were sort of like, well, this is the best you can do, so you just got to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. But they did not help me think it through morally, and they did not give me full or clear information. It was very much of an ignorant decision made in the dark and for self-preservation. It sounds, sound very similar to your story. And so I think it's interesting that you have identified that you lacked confidence, because I think this is also something that really sets the stage for a young woman and, you know, to make that decision or to passively go along with the people around her making the decision. So what happened to your confidence in the aftermath? I mean, what did life look like then?
Well, I ended up getting married a year or so later, and today that marriage lasted 11 years, and I look back now and realize it never had a chance. It never had a chance because I was holding back the greatest secret of my life from shame, and I never wanted that person to ever really know the truth of who I was. And so then what I did, and what most people do, is then I created a persona, so to speak, so that they would never find out. So literally everything I did from that moment on had a root back to that of, how do I explain this? Everything I did was about protecting the secret. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and the way that I have spoken about it is to say that we nurture the secret instead of relationships.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's no possibility for full intimacy with those closest to us if they don't know this central secret that we're guarding.
Correct. And as you speak on that, I want to share right now that, and we'll get into a little bit more. I know we talked about what we're going to talk about, but I want to share right now that I'm so thankful for you. And I'm so thankful for your story and for your book, Cradle My Heart, because later on when I went through the restoration, I was given your book. And I sat in my prayer closet, and I cried and wept over every single page. I'm going to cry right now. Because it was as if somebody else understood what it was the first time I knew I wasn't alone in this walk, and somebody else understood where I had been. And you gave me the courage to now write my story in a way that's raw and real, because I know that if I tell the absolute truth, someone else will be able to relate and go, oh, I'm not alone. So you were with me in my healing, Kim, all along. Your words were encouraging to me. And it is no mistake. I grew up in California. I live in Utah. And then I moved to Minnesota with that marriage. It's no coincidence that I end up in Minnesota listening to you on a radio, okay, and then find your book years later. God has a plan.
That encourages me. And you are an encourager, Melody. And I thank you for saying that because, you know, I mean, it was a labor of love writing the book. And it's a tough book to read, as you say. Mm-hmm. If you've had the experience, it's a difficult book to read because, you know, we don't shy from the sadness. We don't shy away from the shame. But ultimately, as I said, you know, we're pointing people to the answer. And what I really want people to understand, even as, you know, I'm accepting those kind words, is that you realized you weren't alone. That's such a big purpose that we have here, too, is to just help people understand that the isolation is not God's plan for you. You know, there was someone who said to me, I had an abortion, and that just began my healing journey. So, you know, if you're listening, take heed to what Melody is saying here, that you're really not alone in this. Mm-mm. And so you began to find your voice, and it sounds like you were finding faith at the same time.
I was. What's real interesting is, you know, that marriage ended, and I got married again, and I found the Lord. And then there was a process of a few years of being I'm going to put my little quotation fingers up, being a perfect Christian, but still hiding my secret. So I held my secret for 14 years. And I'm trying to think. I'm doing my math in my head. My math is off. So I got married in 95, and in 2007 is when everything in my world flipped upside down. That's when I listened to a tape recording that I had made back in 1999. Okay, so something I'm going to touch on, if it's okay, is what happens to us people that have been through trauma. I think, have you talked about PTSD with abortion?
We have, you know, and I'm not an expert on trauma, but I absolutely believe that there is trauma at the center of every abortion because a life is lost. So how can it not be traumatic? It's a life and death experience for people. So yes, please.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm just touching on this. I was praying last night about what part of my story to talk to you about. And I was sitting with my grandmother in 1999, and she told me a story. And for the life of me, I didn't remember a word of it. And I know it was because of this ironclad wall to put things in a vault and to not let anybody know my secret, because she didn't know my secret. But she told me her secret. And I didn't hear, so that was in 1999. But in 2007, we moved into a new house. I found a box with a tape recorder, and there it was. And I began to listen to this tape recording I had made my grandma telling me stories of old, okay? And in the midst of it, she said these words, "You were never wanted." And as I listened to her saying these words, my little girl in me came out and said, of course I was never wanted. And I began to think about all the trauma I had growing up. But then she finished it with, "Your mom and dad called me and they drove you over the border, or drove your mother over the border. And your mother went into an abortion clinic and was given a shot to end your life." And I'm kind of at a loss here, because it's the hardest part for me to hear, for me to remember and recall, because I was sitting in her living room on her last days and she's confessing this to me. And it got blocked in my memory until I heard it on a tape recorder 8 years later. And I sat there and tried to wrap my mind around what she was telling me, that it was possible that my parents tried to abort me before I was ever born. And so imagine, I'm at 2007, I'm hearing this, I'm a perfect Christian, and I'm hearing this, that there was another secret, but I've held out my other secret. And then the Lord started messing with me for the next 3 years. And again, there's so much more, and I know we're limited on time. But within those 3 years, I found Melissa Odin, you know who she is, with Abortion Survivors Network, because I went secretly to her and said, is this possible? Because I found out that it is possible for a child to actually live through an abortion, which, wow, right? And so through that journey, I found your book, I found Rachel Vineyard, and I told my husband my secret, and he lovingly came alongside me. I shared it with my pastor. and began this journey of realizing that, well, the Lord was messing with me, I'm just telling you, and I argued with the Lord, and I said, you told me in your word that you would forget my sin as far as the east is from the west, so why are you bringing this up? Like, why are you messing with my life? My life was good. It was perfect. I was serving in church. Everyone thinks I'm fabulous. Why are you messing with me? They don't need to see the scarlet letter. And his word to me was, it's not about you. It is not about you. You have prayed for me to break your heart, but what breaks mine? And that's where this next part of the journey has begun, that I realized that I am a voice. I'm a voice to heal the brokenhearted, right? Isaiah 61. Heal the brokenhearted. Reconcile generations and free captives that are chained to shame and guilt and condemnation. And that's kind of the gist, you know, the condensed version, my dear. It's hard to talk about it in such a short version because there's so much entailed, right?
Well, believe me, it's still every bit as moving as the entire, you know, the entire detailed version of events. And our guest is Melody Olson, and we have a link to her website. And we also at cradlemyheart.org have a link to our podcast when we have spoken with Melissa Oden. I think she's been our guest two times. So please go to cradlemyheart.org. So many resources for you, especially if you're just starting this journey. There's a free excerpt of the book that you can access for Cradle My Heart. And again, you can access Melody's resources. Most of what we're doing there is we try to make as much of it as possible free. Because, you know, if I have to give a credit card or even put my email down, it's a barrier for folks. And we do understand that. But Melody, so as you're sharing this about the shocking news that you're an abortion, you survived an abortion attempt. I don't know if, you know, you talked about masks, and that always resonates with me as well, because, I mean, my career in general market radio, you had to have a persona, you know, so I had this built-in mask, but then I had this other mask that I wore with family, you know, I was just really good. I had a whole wardrobe.
Right.
But it sounds like I don't know if that was a perfect mask for you as a Christian, or if you truly were, as you say, you know, just really all in for the Lord, but he just said to you, there's a different direction I want you to take things. And the reason I want you to answer this question is because I know women who are serving in ministry who are harboring that secret. And that was me for a lot of years in church. You know, I didn't come to faith until I was an adult. And I didn't come to a Bible preaching church until, you know, some years down the road. And then I was like, well, I hope if my new friends found out who I used to be, I'm sure they wouldn't, you know, want to have anything to do with me. So talk about this fact that, you know, with you as a perfect Christian, God telling you your story was needed for his purposes. And just say more about that. I just have a feeling that a lot of women and men listening need to hear how God has helped you through that.
Well, as the perfect Christian, so then I became, I was always available to serve. Perfect, first of all, that I wanted to make sure that anybody that looked at us, at my family, at my marriage, at my children, at me, would only see perfect. Because there's so much in the Christian world of healing and, you know, and being real and truthful, that it was hard to live a lie by being true. You know, does that make sense? And I'll just tell you, the part with the Lord is I was actually very angry, and I don't get angry at God very often because I know most of he doesn't change, but I wanted to understand his truth. And it's all about those masks, and you kind of mentioned several different masks, and there is a difference between a mask and a filter, and that's something else the Lord has given me now to help people be unmasked. But I had to first take off my mask, Because if I were willing to take off my mask, and I read something recently, when you're taking off the masks you wear, sometimes you take a piece of yourself with it.
Hmm.
And I had to be willing to just expose. And that's hard. That's hard for anything, not just abortion. That's hard for the alcoholic. It's hard for the person with the porn addiction. Whatever it is, I think that, you know, we have our niche, so to speak, of where we talk, because where people can relate. But shame, guilt, and condemnation is like all encompassing. And I hope that my willingness to step away from what I wanted the world to see and instead pleasing God. And that's really it. Okay, I think this is what you wanted to know. Truly, what leads me now is not what others see or others think or others believe about me, but what God will say to me the day I stand before Him. That leads everything for me now. And I had to get to that point of understanding that it's only about what He wants. And now I don't care who hears my story. Meaning, I don't care what they think.
Right.
I only care that God comes through it. And you said it at the beginning of the program. I always say, this is His story of my life. And if you put those two words together, it's the history of my life. It's His story. I just want to honor Him. That's it.
Mm. And, you know, I think that if you have not yet, listening to our conversation, adopted a lifestyle of obedience, can I just encourage you in that direction and help you learn from my mistake that it's just such a better path for you.
So much easier.
To listen right away and not argue and not wrestle and not give in to angry feelings, because so much of what you said, Melody, resonates with me as well. And I think that, you know, when we are masked, it's very interesting to me how often we spend time with other people who are masked. You know,
and
those folks are very often not happen when that mask comes off, because, well, now I may have to take mine off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We know how that goes, but I think one of the most important things that we, along with preventing the loss of innocent human life, but one of the most important things that we do here is to speak mm-hmm. the truth. In order to do that, in order to prevent people from making that fatal mistake. Because mm-hmm. if we aren't healed, we can't stand up and say, you know what, I have that in my past, and here's how God is helping me to redeem it. Here's how God has healed my heart. Here's how God is leading me forward. Here's the hope that I have, that nothing is irretrievably lost in God's kingdom. You know, if we aren't healed, we aren't able to do any of those things. And I think, you know, when God said to you, it's not about you, that's what we see, right? Because you and I have seen it as we share our story.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, okay, so as you're saying that, I'm hearing something in my spirit as well. And you know this already, and I think one of the ministries uses this as the tagline. We are a voice to the voiceless. But if we go, you know, you talked about the enemy of our soul, Christ, to take away those gifts or hide those gifts. And I like to think about the millions of women that have walked into an abortion clinic that are silent. They're silenced. And so I have this mission not only to do what God has called me to do, you know, to heal the brokenhearted, right? To free them, but also to release their voices. That's another part of what I want to do. And I know it's what you want to do. You're helping today to release my voice to people that are not in my close circle. And that voice will then in turn release another voice, because it will give someone who's listening today, you know, we're speaking to you. I know you're hearing it. And your voice is needed to be released. Maybe you've shared your story, but you haven't spoken, because the word says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, there's liberty, right? And so I'm calling out that as well, that imagine if millions of voices began to actually speak out and say, it was a mistake. And I had an abortion. I mean, I know there's a movement in that right now of, you know, yes, there's the movement on the other side, But there's a movement on the right side as well. I don't mean to say right or left. It's not like, like I say, it's not by mistake that God has put us on the same path to be a voice to the voiceless and to give them courage to then speak as well.
Melody, as she said, has a speaking ministry. Maybe consider inviting her to your next event. And I know you have all kinds of interactive things that you do on your social media. You can learn all about that at cradlemyheart.org as you connect with our guest, Melody Olson. God bless you, Melody. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you, Kim. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Now stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones at 1-800-811-3003 and take your calls here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to when you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open, and we are so glad that you are with us. Thank you for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening. And give us a call. Phones are open right now at 1-800-811-3003 with a simple question for you. It was extremely humbling to have Melody tell me that our book had such an impact on her. And I thought about all of the people that I probably could give that same message to and haven't. You know, people who have influenced me, people whose faith made a huge difference in my life. And that's my question for you. I want to know who has really, and especially if you feel you have experienced God's healing in your life, where did that influence come from? Was there a person? Was there a book? Was there a particular Bible verse? What has influenced your health, let's say your spiritual health, whether it would be after abortion, whether you've had an unplanned pregnancy and you chose life or you placed a child for adoption? Well, you know, as we've expanded the storytelling in our daily feature to include those stories, I am telling you, there is no family unaffected by this issue in our country. And the stories where support happens and courage breaks through and women choose life and families are born through adoption are so inspiring. And it's just as inspiring to hear stories of new life and transformation and restoration and healing. So if any of those apply to you, share with us the influence. 1-800-811-3003. And we have pro-life resources for you. We have copies of healing songs from Lauren Roman, if it's a CD or a musical resource that you'd like. We have copies of The Case for Life by my mentor, Scott Klusendorf, which will make you bad to the bone to defend life in the marketplace of ideas, using science and philosophy. You don't have to be disqualified immediately because you happen to be a Christian and happen to have a Christian worldview. You can show how science and philosophy harmonize with the truth from God's word once you know how. And Scott's book is a wonderful, and wow, he's been an influence for me. It's a wonderful resource for that. 1-800-811-3003. Call. We would love to hear your thoughts. I was thinking about asking you this question as I encountered the verses in 2 Corinthians that talk about how it is that, you know, influence works when the Holy Spirit is at play in relationships. And 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6 says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. As such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So who has been that letter that God wrote on someone's heart and it commended God to you and it just suddenly made such a difference for you? Or maybe over time, maybe it's only in looking back you saw the difference that that influencer made. Share the story with us. 1-800-811-3003, and it'll be our pleasure to share a pro-life resource with you here from Cradle My Heart. I'm Kim Cotola, and I'm your host, and I do present the Case for Life training in Christian high schools, and we have an underwriting grant so that I can come to your school, your pregnancy center, your church, adult Sunday school, or high school and up, high school age and up, and present the Case for Life free of charge because of our underwriting grant. And we have some dates already on the books, but I would love to come for your organization. So if that's something that you would like to have me do, please just get in touch with us. 1-800-811-3003 or go to cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form there, and you can send me an email because it's our joy to be able to share it. You know, I've talked about how I became pro-life, well, really, it through the witness of my child in heaven, is probably the individual most influential in helping me understand the truth of the value of every life. And when I first began speaking out about abortion, I hadn't really fully grasped the pro-life position. And I was very reluctant to call myself pro-life because of stereotypes. And wow, I mean, that was 15 years ago. And I think the stereotypes and the gridlock on communication has even become more entrenched in the meantime. I mean, I call myself pro-life because it's the handiest way to designate the fact that, you know, I believe life begins at conception and that human life is sacred because we're made in the image of God. And that unborn life is as equally valuable as any other life because it's our human nature that gives us our value and not any developmental or other arbitrary point. And so that makes me pro-life. I know there are people who object to that, and I know there are people who want to say anti-abortion is the term we should use, but you know where I'm coming from, I hope. For me, it's a neutral term. I think it says quite well that I'm in favor of defending life before birth. 1-800-811-3003. If you want to talk about who has influenced you for the pro-life position, that would be fine. I would like to hear that story. If there's someone who's influenced you in faith, wow, I mean, I think that would have to be my granny. Oh, my goodness, the power of a praying grandmother in the face of my obstinance and disobedience. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Granny in heaven. Oh, wow. I mean, her influence was overt. You know, she rebuked me when she felt it was necessary as I got a little bit older and got more in your face about not being interested in the things of God. But she also just lived her faith. She was God's letter written on her heart. To know her was to know her faith in God. And it was so unshakable and unmovable that, you know, I mean, I don't know, as I think back upon who she is and how she modeled that for me time and time and time and time and time again, it was just an unmistakable witness. How about you? 1-800-811-3003. It's a toll-free call, and our ground rules are that you do not have to give your name. And you do not have to, you know, you can call us anonymously if you don't want to have your name attached to your story or your comments. That's fine. But please do call us. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear your story. 1-800-811-3003. I want to also emphasize, as giving you the chance to get to the phone, come back to something that was in our discussion with Melody Olson, our guest. And if you missed it, the podcast will be posted within 48 hours at cradlemyheart.org. I urge you to listen. Melody is a woman who had 3 abortions and yet can stand without shame and talk about what God has done in her life to redeem it all. And she has even overcome the shattering news that she was unwanted and that her parents had tried to abort her. You know, this is an identity issue that runs so deep in the lives of people who have that as a detail of their story that they've learned usually as adults. It puts the lie to everything that they thought about their childhood growing up. It's a very, very difficult and complex thing to deal with. But Melody is so clear and so shines the light of God's love that if you didn't get a chance to hear the interview, I urge you to get to cradlemyheart.org this week and listen for the podcast. But one of the things that came up in our conversation was the importance of obedience. She talked about, you know, God was messing with her, and she talked about arguing with God. And, you know, when we enjoy a relationship with Jesus, I've heard other people who are strong believers and have very vibrant relationships with the Lord, very spirit-led relationships with the Lord, use such terminology. And it might be offensive to those who don't conceive of anything short of holy reverence. But, you know, I understand what Melody meant by this, and I don't count it as irreverent to say that God was, you know, if you would say God was messing with me. Because what she was driving at was, you know, that he was calling her to obedience, to do something that she didn't want to do. Because if we want to do it, it's not obedience. If we want to do it, it is not obedience. I mean, I believe that, you know, sometimes obedience is very, very sweet. And it's not difficult for us at all. You know, we need a very gentle, quick correction, and then we get ourselves in line with God's will. And many of us have taken on the daily habit and discipline in prayer of surrendering ourselves and giving our bodies as a living sacrifice day by day and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You know, that to assume an attitude of obedience in worship and in listening and in doing what God would have us do throughout the course of the day. And I mentioned in our conversation with Melody how important this is. And God has just really brought it into focus for me how much disobedience is based in unbelief. You know, that, and I think we've talked about that on the program before. If someone who's more powerful than you promises something that's wonderful in your life and you reject it, you know, it could be because you just don't believe it. You don't believe they love you, or you don't believe that they can do it, that their power extends that far. You just might not believe it. But if you do believe it, and then you say, well, that's not important to me, I don't want that reward, because every time that the Lord is calling us to obedience, he's always making promises and he's always promising rewards. This is who he is. He understands, you know, the needs of our hearts, and he understands what motivates us, and he understands relationship, right? And so if we disobey, it shows that there's something gravely wrong going on in our hearts. It is not, it's not a small thing to disobey. It is not a small thing to disobey. And came upon in my readings some verses in Deuteronomy, which indicated that God gives us over to idolatry for disobedience. And that was very eye-opening to me, because I had always had this notion in mind, and I don't know if I was ever taught that, but I guess using logic assumed that, oh, well, people chose idols, and then because they were into idolatry, they disobeyed God, you know, by taking the pleasure that the idol offers you. And it could be anything, right? It used to be cigarettes for me when I was a smoker. It could be food. It could be a false religion. Or it could be, you know, again, something that's very worldly and pleasurable. An idol can be anything that you're looking to, that is driving you and that you worship other than the Lord himself. But this pattern of disobedience coming before idolatry and God ordaining idolatry for those who are disobedient, because, oh, if you've ever been trapped in idolatry, it's so horribly unsatisfying. We can never have our needs for the reverent worship of our holy and perfect Lord. We can never have that met by looking to an idol or through false religion. You know, and so many addictions stem from idolatry, right? And then, you know, if you've ever been caught up in addiction, as I just admitted to you with cigarettes in the past, there's that craving that can never be satisfied. One's too many and 100's not enough, as the saying goes, right? All of this is driven by disobedience. And I see in it a sort of a loveliness of God doing whatever it takes to bring you to the end of yourself where you'll say, it doesn't satisfy me and it can't. Maybe I'll obey God. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. If that resonates with you, tell me about becoming obedient. I don't know that all of us just start and stay obedient. What's influenced you toward obedience? 1-800-811-3003, giving you the chance to share your influences tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Give us a call.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for listening. We're glad that you're with us tonight. And the question before us is, who influenced you? Whether it would be for your faith or whether it be for a pro-life point of view, maybe in your actions that you took during the course of an unplanned pregnancy. You know, the broad topic that we talk here, it would be great if you have an influence there. But just I'd love to hear your story of who influenced you. Our guest earlier tonight said that she was greatly helped by the book that I wrote, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. It's a very humbling thing to hear that you've had an influence on someone. And it made me realize how many shoulders I stand on, how many people poured into me for me to be able to write that book. Oh my goodness, what an influence Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's daughter, was in the course of that. When she invited me into her conference ministry and we had to work on this material of how to help people in a one-hour conference workshop on the huge problem of recovering after abortion, she put a lot of faith in me to be able to work on that material that eventually became that book. She was a huge influence and remains one for me. How about you? 1-800-811-3003. We've got a caller ready to go, and Mary is listening in Minneapolis on our Faith Radio affiliates at KTIS. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hello.
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just was responding to your question about faith influencers, and just wanted to share that was appalling to me is that when I miscarried, the medical term that I saw in the paperwork was called spontaneous abortion. And that was extremely difficult for me to grab my head around, because I had miscarried, actually. And I think anyone who's gone through a miscarriage could certainly relate to what I'm saying. But I've come around to this topic of where as women we talk to each other about abortion, and it's a very personal situation for everybody. I ended up adopting and having a birth child, so I've a myriad of experiences through all of this. And I guess the things that really influenced me the most were my faith, primarily realizing how much God absolutely loves us, and trying to not be judged by other people or to judge other people for their decisions in that regard. So I've kind of come around to really letting people, every situation is very different, but the choice to abort or to carry to term is personal. And I try not to judge people who have made that decision. I try to come alongside women who've had that difficulty, and I try to help them to move on. And I think that the clinics that we target for this conversation do prevent more abortions than are actually carried out. And I think that's just one thing for people to keep in mind, that the care and the nurturing and the access to medical care is the primary objective of those environments.
I understand. So, did you tell me you're a Christian just now? Did you say you're a Christian?
I am I prefer to call myself a believer, and that means.
Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I've been baptized as an adult and as a believer in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Living Father and the Holy Spirit, and Father God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Praise God. So, Mary, how do you reconcile the shedding of innocent blood at the center of every abortion, if you're a believer in God and His Word?
I recognize that there are many, many different issues. I particularly don't judge each person for it.
You haven't answered my question. It's a very straightforward question. How do you reconcile the shedding of innocent blood at the center of every abortion with God's Word?
I don't support abortion.
Okay. But you support people.
I support sharing God's love with people, no matter what their circumstances are. If they've had a spontaneous miscarriage, I don't know if they've had an abortion, if they've given full birth to a baby, or if they've adopted. I celebrate life, and no matter which way it occurs, and I grieve the cases that it has not happened.
Well, and I applaud you for that. However, I don't think that if we look at all the facts of what actually happens in an abortion business, I don't think that we can consider them benign helpers and befrienders of women. I just don't think that the evidence exists for that.
It's very difficult.
To me, it's very simple. They destroy the lives of women's children. And destroy the dignity of motherhood that God has, you know, endowed us with.
That is what your stance is. That is what I believe, too. But I don't wish to engage in judgment. I prefer to love and support people no matter what. My job is not to judge people. My job is not to convince. My job is to love people.
You know, Mary,
I
appreciate that. I think that it's very interesting to me that you were troubled that paperwork would represent something that you did not do, participating in elective abortion. That was very troubling to you, that even in somebody's record system, that you would be, you know, listed as someone who had made that choice. I think somewhere in your heart of hearts, you know that it's deeply wrong. And I think somewhere in your heart of hearts,
I think you're trying to tell me that I believe in abortion. And I think you're trying to put words into my mouth. And I think that you're trying to judge me. And I'm not saying that at all. I am just trying to raise the point of we need to love each other and support each other and help each other through whatever difficult situation we've encountered. And yes, that does include abortion, whether we enter the scene before it, during it, or after it. I don't have access to any before or during. I may encounter somebody afterwards. And so my role is to support and encourage and love them and help them to get back.
Well, Mary, I want to give you a phone number, 1-800-712-HELP. That's a number for a pregnancy care center that you can give to someone who thinks that abortion is her answer. And there she will find life-affirming help for her and for her baby. Thank you for your call, Mary. I appreciate you sticking with us to flesh it out. And I apologize. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. I am adamant that abortion is never the answer, because it always stills a beating heart. And we can make that choice, but we cannot escape the consequences of that choice. And I will always speak against it in every circumstance. There are some circumstances, you know, I was talking with recently, we've got just a minute here remaining, but about ectopic pregnancy and truly when the mother of the life is at risk. In many of those cases, the child can be rescued and the child can be saved. The answer is not to kill the child. In ectopic pregnancy, if that's not possible, then that's not an abortion. An abortion is an elective abortion, is the intentional killing of an innocent human being, and that's what makes it morally wrong. Thank you so much for staying with us, and thank you for sharing your thoughts. You can always weigh in on our social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook, of course, Cradle My Heart. At Cradle My Heart is our handle at on Facebook, and at Kim Catola on Twitter. And you can send me an email, and I promise you I'll reply within 24 hours. Stay with us week to week as we post our program notes online at Cradle My Heart.